let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. If you're watching from home, sing with me. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to beautiful city of God.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Jesus Christ was born on earth. What a glorious day.
Since the Lord has prepared so richly for us, let's give him our best. Let's sing the song, Our Best, 212 in your songbook. 212, Our Best, Our All. Let's sing all three verses.
Hear ye the Master's call, give me thy best.
Jesus.
Welcome to Faith Baptist Church tonight. Announcements, tomorrow night we're having church also. Remember, tomorrow night it's 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. Pastor Tim Smart will be preaching again. We're going to have a special prayer time at the end for our upcoming Friend Day. Friend Day is on Sunday. We'll have Sunday school at regular time, 9:45, and that's with Pastor Tim Smart. All the adults will be out here. And then also 11 o'clock, the Sunday morning service, which is officially our Friend Day service, and encouraging to bring people with you. And there's still postcards back there. I encourage you, I know we've hung out probably almost 1,800 different bags on doors within the last month advertising Friend Day, but the best chance we have for people to come is personal contact. So if you've invited somebody, I encourage you to follow up on them and just give them an encouragement. It's not like we're not a telemarketer trying to sell people things they don't need. We're fulfilling the Great Commission. We're doing what God's called us to do to compel people to come in. So I encourage you to bring somebody with you Sunday. Do everything you can. Be praying for it. And like I said, tomorrow night at the end of the service, I have a special prayer time for Friend Day. And then following that, we're going to have dinner. We're going to have fried chicken and some barbecue. And then we're going to have some activities afterwards, some indoor board games for those who don't want to go outside and play. And then we're going to be playing some volleyball outside, some family kickball, and there'll be other things out there for you to do. But I encourage you to stay around and just be a part of that. I know there'll be some cleaning up that needs to be done afterwards, obviously, but after all that gets done, come on out and just enjoy the time of your fellowship. We don't get to do a lot of activities for adults, but this is one time that's an activity there. Spend time together, whether you're just hanging out or playing a game or even outside embarrassing yourself playing volleyball with the young people. That's what I normally do. I go outside and I embarrass myself playing volleyball. But it works, and it's a lot of time, and I enjoy building relationships with others. This is a great chance to do that, especially if you have visitors that are here with you. Let's go ahead and have our ushers come forward. As they come forward, don't forget, not obviously tomorrow, but the following Saturday is Super Saturday. I know the young people are excited about that. If you'd like to help with Super Saturday, please let me know sometime next day or two as we're making final plans for that. Remember, everything that comes in for the offering is going to go as a love offering for our special speakers throughout the week. So I encourage you to give and give as the Lord lays it upon your heart. Brother Todd, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please?
as I wake up in the morning, as I look across the sky. This could be a brand new dawning when I bid this world goodbye. Heavenly sunrise, one glorious morning, when our Lord takes us home. With a great celebration, one like we've never known. I have read in the Bible how our Savior will appear. He will come in clouds of glory, and that day is very near. Heavenly sunrise, one glorious morning, when our Lord takes us home. With a great celebration, one like we've never known. With a great celebration, one like we've never known. Heavenly sunrise, one glorious morning.
It's a privilege to have the Smart family with us, and it's a privilege to have Pastor Tim Smart preaching for us tonight. I met him at Pensacola Christian College many, many, many years ago, and I remember seeing him when he came to visit his mother-in-law and father-in-law, and I says, I know that guy, I recognize him, and then that's what we found out. We knew it, and ever since then, we've been friends, and I've been encouraged when he comes to visit, which is not enough. He needs to come more often. We usually ask him to preach and be a part of our services, and he always does a wonderful job. I appreciate his testimony. I appreciate his testimony amongst his family, and also, I guess, every time I know him and get to talk with him, I ask him questions, we talk, and I guess like what he says, because it's biblical, and he's just kind of always very steady in what he believes and how he believes, and if I have a question about something, I think I already know what he's going to tell me, but it's nice to hear it, so I'm thankful for him. I've been to his church. He pastors Maranatha Baptist Church in Ripley, Tennessee, and it's a nice ministry that's there, so Brother Smart, if you come preach for us. Thank you for coming all the way from Tennessee to be here with us.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, if we could, and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we'll be tonight. I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate the invitation to come. This was the main purpose for our trip, was to be able to come and to preach. This has been on the schedule for quite some time, but it didn't hurt that we were able to stop and see our daughter for a couple days. She is in Lattimore, North Carolina, at Ambassador Baptist College, and so that was a good treat to be able to stop and see her, and just thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here this week. I have listened, not in totality, but listened to a number of the messages already this week on Facebook and kind of kept up. And y'all have been fed this week, and y'all have received from God's Word tremendously this week, and you're almost at the finish line, so stay in there. We know what the Bible says. It says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you what? If you faint not. And so don't faint because it's the weekend, it's Friday, it's Saturday, and just stay in there, and the Lord is going to give us something over these next few days. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we'll be tonight, and Lord willing, the Lord may change this. He may very well, but Lord willing, we're going to be in Ephesians 6 tonight, tomorrow night, and then Sunday morning during Sunday school. The Sunday morning message will be in a different passage, but Lord willing, we'll be here. And I'd like to bring us a three-message series from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10, entitled Battle Ready. Battle Ready. And tonight I want to bring us a message. We're just going to look at verses 10 through 13. And I want to bring us a message tonight entitled Superpower Status. superpower status. Let's begin in verse number 10 if we could tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. By the way, on our way over, the closer we got to here, to eastern North Carolina, it really begins to look a lot like back home. You think about Tennessee, we live all the way on the other side of Tennessee. We don't live in the mountains. We live close to the river, to the Mississippi River. And where we live, it is all cotton fields. And they just started ginning, just started picking the cotton. And so the closer we got here, it just see some of the cotton fields and just looks just like home. And so I'm thankful for that. Verse number 10, Ephesians chapter number 6, if we could. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," because of what he has just said, "wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And by the way, we live in an evil day, don't we? Amen. Now, I know every generation has had to deal with evil. We know that. Every generation has dealt with sin, has dealt with evil, but we live in an evil day. By the way, the song that, the special that was just sung right there before the message, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. The Bible tells us we don't know that, but boy, it sure seems like that day is hastening, doesn't it? It seems like things are speedily heading in that direction. And I bring us here tonight because of that, because it seems like all of the forces of hell are really ramping up their attacks upon Christians and upon Christianity and upon anything that is Christ-like. And so I bring us to Ephesians 6 for that reason tonight. He says, "Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so I'd like to bring this little series, the next three opportunities that we have together, entitled Battle Ready. But tonight I'd like for us to look at this subject, superpower status. Let's pray and ask God to help tonight, and we'll get into the message. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for what you have done in the hearts of your people here at Faith Baptist Church already this week. Father, from Sunday, beginning with Brother Fox, all the way to last night with Brother Browder speaking about rest, Father, they have been fed tremendously. And Father, I pray that tonight would be no different. It's your word, and it's your word that feeds us. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be receptive, attentive to what you have for us tonight. Father, we live in weighty days. We live in vital days. And Father, we're no different than any other generation. We have always lived in important days. But Father, if there's ever been a generation who needs to stand and who needs to dress themselves with the armor of God, Father, we need it tremendously today. And Father, it seems as if at this very time when we need it most, we are neglecting it the most. And so, Father, I pray that you would remind us, stir us, help us tonight. Father, I do pray if there would be one here tonight without Christ, Father, I pray that they would see their need for salvation tonight. For those of us as believers tonight, please stir us, please help us. Father, please remind us of the responsibilities that we have. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in these next few moments. Father, we commit it to you, and we ask that you'd bless it in a special way. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like for you to hold your place here in Ephesians 6. This is primarily where we'll be tonight. But if you would, let's take our Bibles real quickly and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'd like to read just three verses real quickly, just by way of introduction tonight as we get going in the message. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. The term battle ready most often references the readiness of a soldier's sword. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, Sunday morning during Sunday school. It primarily references the soldier's sword and being ready and prepared, but really it references the totality of a soldier's readiness and preparedness. Battle ready, being ready for the battle. Let me ask us a question. Would we think it wise for an American soldier to go onto the battlefield without an M16, without a Kevlar helmet, without an up-armored vehicle? Would we think that would be wise? Absolutely not. We would think that would be very foolish, very absurd for an American soldier to go onto the battlefield without any armor, without any weapon, if you will, without any ammunition. We would think that absolutely absurd. And so tonight in the spiritual realm, and that's what we're speaking about tonight, we ought to think it's absolutely absurd and foolish for us as Christians, as believers, to step on the spiritual battlefield on a daily basis without being prepared and without being ready. Battle ready. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, and we do, we walk in this flesh. We live every day and we walk on this soil. We walk in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. The Bible says there in verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And by the way, that's where many of our battles begin. They begin in the mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every imagination, every thought that exalts itself against the Word of God, against the knowledge of God. The Bible says we must cast that down. And bringing into captivity every thought to what? To the obedience of Christ. Our warfare is not carnal. It's not fleshly. We don't battle flesh against flesh, because here's the truth. When we battle flesh against flesh, we will lose. We will always lose. Our warfare is spiritual. And by the way, I think that's probably our problem sometimes, because we don't see the enemy face to face. Now, we see the enemy manifested, don't we? We see evil manifested in our day. And so we do see evil face to face many times, but we don't see the enemy many times face to face. And so we forget and we neglect to be ready and to be prepared and to be battle ready when we step out every single day onto the battlefield in that spiritual battle. Look back at Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Again, in verse number 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we're not going to go back, but in chapter number 4, really chapters 1 and 3 of Ephesians are really doctrinal. They speak about the salvation that has been imparted to us in Christ, and we'll see that tonight. But beginning in chapter number 4, really we begin to see the walk of the believer in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And then in chapter number 5, we begin to see relationships, and we're going to see those tonight as well. But in chapter number 4, he begins to speak about the walk of the believer. And in verse number 12, he begins to speaking about the perfecting of the saints for the edification of the body. In verse 14 and 15, he's speaking about speaking the truth in love. He's speaking about growth. Later down in chapter number 4, verse number 30, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In chapter 5, verse number 1, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Listen, the enemy, the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil does not want us to do any of those. He does not want us to be edified in chapter number 4 and verse number 12. He does not want us to be unified. He does not want us to grow. He does not want us to speak the truth in love. He does want us to grieve the Holy Spirit. He does not want us to be a sweet-smelling savor to God. Verse number 8 in chapter number 5, he speaks about the fact that we are now lights and we are children of the light. We are supposed to walk as children of light. In verse number 16, he speaks about redeeming the time. He doesn't want us to do any of that. And that's why in chapter number 6, as Paul is finishing out this epistle, this letter to the church at Ephesus, he ends it by saying this is what you need. If we're going to fulfill any of that, if we're going to be anything that we ought be, we have to battle this spiritual battle, not in our flesh because it's spiritual, not carnal, but we have to battle it in the spirit. And so tonight, I want to give you, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a 1, 2, and 3 tonight, and we'll develop those a little bit tonight. Lord willing, I'll do my best not to be long. I know it's Friday night. I know you're tired. But I want us to see tonight several things here in Ephesians chapter number 6 as we speak about superpower status. And the first thing I want us to see tonight, I'd like for us to see the treasured targets. We would call those, or in military jargon, the phrase that would probably be used is high-value targets. And I'd like for us to see the treasured targets tonight. Because when we come to Ephesians chapter number 6, we have been in a context, if you will, all the way back to chapter number 5, and I believe beginning in verse number 18, he has given us relationship after relationship after relationship until we get to chapter 6, verse number 10, and he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And from chapter number 5, verse number 18, and we could really go back to chapter 4, but beginning in chapter 5, verse number 18, to chapter 6, verse number 9, we have some high-value targets. And that's why chapter 6, verse number 10, through really verses 19 and 20 are so valuable and so important and so vital. First of all, tonight we see the treasured targets, the high value targets. This is one of the prime reasons, one of the vital reasons why we need the armor. Listen, what God creates, the devil always tries to corrupt. Yes. What God creates, and by the way, everything he creates is good. Everything he creates is good, but what God creates, the devil always seeks to corrupt. Every relationship that God has given us, the devil seeks to pervert. Every single relationship. And so go back, if you would, to chapter number 5, and just real quickly, let me give you these treasured targets. Beginning in verse number 18, the first treasured target that we have are spirit-filled saints. Look at verse number 18, if you will. By the way, the devil never wants us to get to that point. The devil never wants us to die to self and be filled and surrendered. And even as Brother Browder spoke about last night, to be submitted. The devil doesn't want that. The devil doesn't want us to be filled with the Spirit. The devil doesn't want us to be completely controlled by the Spirit and completely surrendered. He doesn't desire that. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. By the way, this isn't a message on music, but the music we listen to tells a lot about us. It tells whether we're Spirit-filled or not. And by the way, it helps us to be Spirit-filled. The music that we listen to, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I love verse number 21 because later on in the passage, in verse number 25, it's going to speak about, or not verse 25, verse 22, the Bible speaks about the wife submitting to the husband, but before he even gets to that, in verse 21, he says, we're to submit to each other. That's right. And we're not going to do that unless we're filled with the Spirit, because if I'm not filled with the Spirit, then who is guiding me? The flesh. And I'm going to tell you what, I am never going to submit to anyone as long as I'm in the flesh. And you're no different than I am. When I am in the flesh, I have no desire to submit to anyone. And so the first treasured target that we see tonight are spirit-filled saints. The devil doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. He's going to put every temptation in front of us to keep us over here with the flesh and away from the Spirit. To keep feeding the flesh and to keep being yielded to the flesh and away to the Spirit. The second treasured target begins at verse 22 all the way down through verse 33. The second treasured target are what I've labeled as heavenly homes. And I dare tell you, dear folks, tonight, our homes are under tremendous attack. I was listening to a gentleman yesterday preaching on the way over, our trip over yesterday, and I have always heard for a long time that the divorce rate in America is 50%. You know, every one in every two marriages is going to end in 50%. And by the way, I don't say this tonight to bring up any wounds for anyone who's gone through this, because I know it happens. But he made the statement that now in America, two out of every three marriages end in divorce. What has happened? The devil. What has happened? Homes haven't had their armor on. What has happened? We haven't allowed heaven in our homes, but we've allowed all of the world into our homes. You see, it's a treasured target. Because the devil, what he loves to do is to take a home that calls itself a Christian home, a husband who is saved and a wife who is saved and children who are saved. He loves to take a home like that and put it on his trophy wall. In the book of Habakkuk, I was reading this week, and in chapter number one, it speaks about the angler. You know what an angler is? Someone who fishes. And he uses that term for Babylon and the Chaldeans and how they're going to come and judge Judah. And how they're going to come and take Judah when God brings his judgment upon Judah and they go into the captivity for 70 years. And he uses that term angler or angle. And it's a term of fishing. And you know just as well as I do tonight that, listen, the enemy has many lures. And the enemy has many baits. He knows what my bait is. He knows what your bait is. And he goes fishing. By the way, why do we go fishing? For two reasons. We go fishing either to eat what we catch or to put it on our wall. There's a gentleman in our church. He has on his, he has a beautiful home, and he has on his wall, he has a log cabin type home, and on one of his walls he has a big marlin fish that he caught and had stuffed. Do you know that that's exactly what the devil loves to do? And that reference in Habakkuk to the angler is a perfect illustration of what the enemy tries to do to us. He wants to catch us either to destroy us and devour us or to display us as one of his trophies.
Right.
Now, he can't take your salvation away. We know that tonight. If I'm saved, I'm sealed. Ephesians tells us that. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But he can sure hang you up on his wall as a display to say, hey, that Christianity stuff, it's not real. It happened to them. It happened to that family. It happened to that family. And one of the treasured targets tonight are heavenly homes. You can't do it. Listen, mom and dad, you can't do enough. I can't do enough as a dad to protect my home. I can never go overboard to protect my marriage. I can never be too careful as a husband to protect my wife and to protect my marriage and to keep myself faithful. I can never be too cautious about that. We're talking about the treasured targets tonight. Why do we need the armor? Why do we need to battle in the strength of the Lord? Because there are treasured targets, relationships, and we have responsibilities in every one of those relationships. First of all, the first treasured target is the Spirit-filled saint. The second treasured target are heavenly homes. Thirdly, look at chapter number 6. And I know we didn't read 21 through 33, but you know the passage. The husband and the wife is a picture of Christ in the church. That's why we call it a heavenly home. You know, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to know heaven. We can have it right in our homes. Ephesians chapter 6, the third treasured target, not only Spirit-filled saints and heavenly homes, but thirdly tonight, consecrated children. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. The devil does not. The teenagers tonight, young people in here tonight, moms and dads in here tonight, the devil does not want your children to be consecrated. Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The devil comes along, the world, the flesh, and the devil comes along and says, listen, your mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to, hey, they've had you in church every night this week. You could be doing other things on a Friday night. Your mom and dad don't care anything about you having any fun. And the devil comes and whispers in the ear, and he plants doubts, and he plants discontentment. He does that with husbands and wives, as we spoke about the heavenly home. He does that in the hearts and lives of men and women. Hey, your husband doesn't love you as much as he used to. Hey, your wife doesn't give you the attention that she used to. And he comes and he places those doubts. Kids, don't you listen to the devil tonight. Teenagers, don't you listen to the devil tonight. If you have a mom and dad who love you and take you to the house of God and teach you the word of God, you listen to them. One of the treasured targets of the enemy are consecrated children. Number four, look at verse number four. The fourth treasured target of the enemy are faithful fathers. The Bible says in verse number four, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what I'll say about verse number four. Dads, we can either be holy or we can be hypocritical, and it makes all the difference. We can either have kids that we nurture because we're living holy lives and genuine lives, or we can have children that we provoke to rebellion because we tell them one thing and we do something else. We can be a hypocrite. One of the greatest ways to provoke a child is to tell them, don't do that, and then we do the exact same thing. Don't watch that. Don't listen to that. Don't drink that. Don't smoke that. Don't say that. And then they hear us saying those things. They see us watching those things. They see us partaking in those activities. Number four, the treasured target, faithful fathers. Dads, be faithful. Number five, quickly. Verse number five, the Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants. You see all these relationships he's talking about? From chapter 5, verse 18, all the way to chapter 6, verse number 9. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. The fifth treasured target are willing workers. Workers who work for God's will and for God's glory instead of the eye service of men. You see what he says there in verse number six? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Notice this, doing the what? The will of God. You know, one of the wills of God that's mentioned specifically in the Bible is found right here. We don't always know what the will of God is in certain areas, like who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to live the rest of my life? You know, some of those areas, we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't say, okay, you're some Christian peas, you're going to marry this lady. It doesn't say that, does it? But there are many areas where it does say this is God's will. And one of the areas is right here in verse number 6 of chapter number 6. It is God's will that I do work and labor for Him and not worry about what my boss thinks. And not worry about whether I think the boss mistreats me or whether the boss is watching or not. Whether the boss is watching or not, I ought to work for the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But many times, and look, we're probably all guilty of this. Pastor P said it today. It's easy to complain, isn't it? It's easy to complain. Probably all of us have done it at one time or another. We've complained about our boss, about our working condition, our hours, our pay or something. You know what? That's wrong. That doesn't mean you can't go to the boss and say, hey, I think I need a raise. I think I should have a raise. Nothing wrong with that. But I ought not complain about it. Because the Bible says, doing the will of God from the heart, steadfast hands and a single heart. That's how we ought to work. Steadfast hands and a single heart. Steadfast, putting our hands to the plow and laboring, and with a single heart, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Those are treasured targets. And let me ask you tonight, hasn't the devil hit those targets many, many times? Heavenly homes who've been destroyed. Spirit-filled saints at one time who were yielded to the Spirit, who now they live for nothing but the flesh and self. Consecrated children. Children who at one time were obedient to mom and dad, who loved the Word of God, loved coming to church. And boy, the devil hit his target. He found that little bitty small place to get in. And he hit his target. faithful fathers. Number one, tonight we see the treasured targets, but number two, tonight we see the adversary's attacks, and we've already mentioned it. What does he attack? He attacks the treasured targets. Number one, we see the treasured targets. Number two, we see the adversary's attacks. Verse number 10 of chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does the word wiles mean? Trickery, deceit. It means crafty, trickery. It means he's a trick, excuse me, he's a Jacob, isn't he? Supplanter, trickster. It means to trick, it means to deceive. It means to be crafty. We see the adversary's attacks. He attacks with an agenda. He attacks with an agenda. Make no mistake tonight, he is not our friend. Make no mistake tonight, he has an agenda. What is his agenda? To accuse, to blind, to deceive, to murder, to steal. We know John chapter number 8. You don't have to turn there, but let me read real quickly. John chapter 8, verse number 44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John chapter number 10, and verse number 10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ came that so we could have abundant life. But the thief, the enemy, the devil came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's not our friend. We see, first of all, he attacks with an agenda, but secondly, he attacks through his agents. Look there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. Listen, I'm not preaching tonight to say that we ought to see a demon behind every corner. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, or one of the devil's minions. But listen, we're in a battle. We're in a battle every day. Did you ever think that we'd be dealing with some of the things that we're dealing with today? Our children deal with things that we never had to deal with. Oh, but Pastor, there's been sin in every generation. Yes. And there were temptations when we were teenagers, yes. But not like today. Not the things that our kids have to deal with today. That's why we need to protect. That's why we need to love. That's why we need to guard them. We need to look, we can't protect them from seeing everything, but we can teach them. And we can love them, and we can show them, and we can show them what the Bible says. Listen, the Bible is still as relevant today on October the 14th, 2022, as it was thousands of years ago. Still relevant. I hear people talking about we're a relevant church. Well, listen, if you preach the Bible, you're a relevant church. Amen. Don't fall into that. Well, we're relevant. And what they mean is that they're hip with what's going on in the culture today. If you preach the Bible, you're relevant, because the Bible's always relevant. And boy, our children, they deal with things. And the Bible says here in verse number 12, for we wrestle not. And by the way, not just our kids. All of us do. Every single one of us. I mean, you try to watch a football game now, or any sporting activity now, and the filth and the wickedness in the commercials. Wicked. Godless. We had in just happened last Saturday night. 45 minutes from where we live in one of the big towns in Tennessee. And by the way, state of Tennessee is very conservative politically. Probably one of the most conservative states in America as far as politics goes. We have a very good governor. We just have good leaders for the most part. But 45 minutes away in Jackson, Tennessee, is where we do most of our shopping. They had a pride event, an LGBTQ+ pride event. And they were going to have it, they originally were going to have it in the park, Conger Park, named after the family of the mayor of Jackson. But Conger Park, they were going to have it there. And as part of their LGBTQ+ pride event this year, on October the 8th, they were going to have a drag show, a family-friendly drag show. Those words don't go together, by the way. They got a lot of pushback, which I'm very thankful for. A lot of pastors there in Jackson, a lot of pushback. They ended up moving it from the park to one of the convention centers there. And I don't know if everything went off the way they had planned for it to. But he attacks through his agents. And the Bible says here in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh. By the way, that stuff is wicked as the day is long. And the devil is attacking. He doesn't try to hide anymore. He doesn't try to be cute about the way he tempts anymore. It is a full-fledged frontal assault. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. By the way, I just saw, we're going to get done, but I just saw yesterday a news article that came across, and I don't even know where it was. I didn't read the news article, but a congresswoman is going to try to pass in her state a law saying that it is against the law if a parent denies their child the opportunity to be what they think they ought be instead of what they truly are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, by the way, they're not doing any of this because they don't know what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He speaks of four agents here in verse number 12. He speaks of principalities, as there are apparently ranks in the angelic orders of heaven. So would it seem to be that there are ranks in Satan's spiritual realm. Principalities are high-ranking governing authorities who are under Satan's control. He says principalities, he says powers. Look, the devil is not omniscient, he is not omnipresent nor omnipotent, but he does have his minions. He's not omniscient, he doesn't know what I'm thinking all the time. But he does have his minions. But let me say this. We say many times, and we're going to get to this in just a moment, this is the most important part of the message here in just a moment, but we say many times, you know, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make me do it. I made a choice. But I will say this. If I try to fight him in the flesh, he is powerful. But I call this message superpower status because the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Now, by the way, in that passage, he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. And boy, we have that spirit today. They had it back in John's day as well. But he's speaking about the spirit of Antichrist there in 1 John chapter number 4. And in verse number 4, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. And then spiritual wickedness in high places. And my dear friend, we see that playing out on a grand scale today. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Men of high degree, men with high positions. We see, number one, the treasured targets. Husband and wife, you're a treasured target. Mom and dad, you have some treasured targets in your home. Protect them. God gave them to you to steward and to rear and to train, protect them. I heard someone say one time, I heard a gentleman say one time, he said, I want my children to learn by their mistakes. That doesn't come from the scriptures. Why in the world, if I could show them what the Bible says and them learn from the Bible instead of their own mistakes, why in the world wouldn't I rather them learn from the Bible instead of having mistakes that they're going to regret for the rest of their lives? Every single one of us in here tonight, we've probably made mistakes that we hope and pray that our children don't make. Let's show them the Word of God and help them not to make those mistakes. Help them not to have regrets. They're high-value targets. They're treasured targets. Protect them. Listen, all the devil needs is a little bitty open area, especially with everything that we have today, smartphones and technologies. It's right there in their hands. I don't understand. Listen, if you allow this, your mom and dad, not me, it's your business. But I really don't understand why 7, 8, 9-year-olds need phones. Let's just go to 3, 4, 5, 6. Why do they need a phone? I know some parents, and they've said this, and if, you know, that's okay, but some parents have said, well, I want them to have a phone at school in case they need to contact me. Okay, possibly. Maybe all the foolishness that goes on in schools today, but why do they need a phone? We're just putting temptation in their hands. By the way, at my age, that phone is still a temptation. Still a temptation. Number one, we see the treasured targets. Number two, we see the adversary's attacks. He attacks with an agenda, and he attacks through his agents. And then thirdly, tonight, we see our superpower status. You see, here's the truth tonight. There are treasured targets that the devil goes after, and the adversary does attack. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they attack, they come. The Bible says in verse number 11, the wiles of the devil. The Bible says in verse number 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Look, the devil's going to come and attack, but here's the truth tonight. We are losing way too many battles that we ought not be losing because we have superpower status. We can argue tonight whether America is still a superpower. There are 5 ingredients to whether a nation is a superpower or not. Their economy, their military, their demographics, their culture, and there's one more, let me find my notes, and their politics. Okay, we could argue tonight whether America is still a superpower or not. That's not my argument tonight. But here's the truth tonight. If you're a child of God tonight and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you tonight, you have superpower status. I don't say that with pride. I say that because that's what the Bible says. And I say that because that's what Paul tells the Christians at Ephesus, that is how they're supposed to fight. They're supposed to fight. Look what he says in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in our own might. Not in our flesh. This is a spiritual battle. This is not a carnal, fleshly battle. Doesn't matter how many muscles we have. It doesn't matter how fit we are tonight. That's a good thing physically. But it doesn't matter in the spiritual battle per se. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of who? Of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our superpower status. What is it based upon? Real quickly, 3 things. It's based upon our captain. He is our Savior. It's based upon our captain. Take your Bibles. Would you go to the book of Hebrews, just a few pages over? Hebrews chapter number 2. It's based upon our captain. By the way, while you're turning there, let me read just real quickly in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse number 10 of chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse number 20 of Ephesians 1, which he wrought in Christ. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter number 2 and verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus. Here's the question tonight. Are you in Christ Jesus? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Even a better question, is he in you? Have you placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? If you have, you are in Christ. And he is our captain tonight. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He took our bitter cup, didn't he? And the Bible says he tasted death, not just for the elect, not just for a few people. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Listen, our captain is going to get us to our destination. He's going to get us to heaven. Our superpower status is based, first of all, upon our captain. He is our Savior. So here's the question. Are you in Christ tonight? Do you know Him as your Savior tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life where you said, you know, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. Ephesians 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I deserve death, separation from God forever in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number one, our superpower status is based upon our captain. He is the Savior. Secondly, our superpower status is based upon our commission. We are commissioned to stand. Verses 10 and 11 again in Ephesians chapter number 6. We are commissioned to stand that you may be able to, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse number 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Our superpower status is based first and foremost and completely upon our captain. He is our Savior. But it's based secondly upon our commission. We have been commissioned to stand, not to retreat. By the way, you ever thought about the armor? It's all frontal. No armor for the back. Because God expects no retreat. By the way, we don't have to because we have superpower status. Okay. And thirdly, not only is it based upon our captain, it's based upon our commission, but thirdly, it's based upon our courage. We fight in His strength. It's based upon our captain. He is our Savior. It's based upon our commission. We're commissioned to stand, but it's based upon our courage. We fight in His strength. But here's the thing. You say, courage? I don't know about that. Because that seems like something we work up in ourselves. Let me give you a biblical definition. I'm from Tennessee. Words are hard. Definition. A biblical definition of courage. A spiritual definition of courage. Here's what it is. Faith in God's promises. That's what courage is. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because here's the truth. The armor is all spiritual. And we take it and we put it on by faith. We fight in it by faith. We fight in His strength. Here's the question, and I think Brother Browder mentioned this even last night in his message. What was the difference between the Israelites that made it to Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 and the Israelites in Joshua chapter number 1? What was the difference? They had the same promises. Same promises. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to fight for you. When you get in the land, you're going to have houses that you didn't build, Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're going to have crops that you didn't plant. You're going to have vineyards and olivers that you didn't plant. You're going to have all of that and you didn't do anything for it. The promises were exactly the same for both generations. What was the difference? One generation feared, and one generation had faith. One generation said, the walls are too big, there are giants in the land, we can't do it. So what was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies? Same promises, same God. Joshua and Caleb believed God. And the other 10 didn't. Okay, so what's the difference today in us having spiritual victory and us constantly, daily being defeated in our spiritual lives? Fear and faith. Courage. Faith in God's promises. Not something we work up in ourselves. Oh, I'm a great Christian. I have a lot of courage. No, we have a lot of courage when we place our faith in His promises. Mom and Dad, you exhibit courage when you train your children according to the Word of God and say, I'm trusting that what God's Word says is going to come to pass. My family says I ought to do it differently. My family says I ought to do it the way the teachers are teaching today to train children. My family says I ought to do it this way, but God says I ought to do it this way. Which one am I going to choose? Fear or faith? God's word or the world? Number one, we have some treasured targets. Number two, we have an adversary who attacks. He attacks on a daily basis. You may not have felt the attack, but he'll come back tomorrow. And he may make you feel it tomorrow. You may not feel it tomorrow, but he'll come back the next day. By the way, be a little concerned if you make it through a day and you don't think the devil attacked. Maybe it's just because you didn't notice. Maybe it's just because you're not filled with the Spirit. Maybe it's just because you're walking in the flesh. We have an adversary who attacks, but we have superpower status. Amen. Because we don't fight in our strength, we fight in his strength. We don't lead ourselves, we have a captain who leads us. Right. And he's the captain of our salvation. Amen. We have a commission to stand. Listen, we have churches and Christians and pastors who are just falling to the wayside or falling to the culture. Stand. Hey, I'm going to tell you why. I appreciate your pastor because he's still standing. Amen. Still standing. I appreciate what Brother Browder said. It was either last night or Wednesday, I don't remember. But he talked about peddling the flesh. That's a good phrase. That's what a lot of our churches are doing today. They're peddling the flesh. Instead of just simply preaching what the Word of God says. Hey, the adversary is going to attack, but dear friend, we have superpower status. Here's the question. Are you resting in that superpower status? Are you resting in that? Are you fighting in that? Brother Browder said last night, Matthew 11:28, are you in the yoke with Jesus Christ? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And by the way, what does it say? And ye shall find rest for your souls. We've got a lot of rested bodies, but a lot of wearied souls today. Resting their bodies, but they're not resting their souls. Are you resting in that superpower status, or are you trying to do it all on your own? I'm here to testify when I try to do it on my own, I make a big mess of it. And the Lord says, I'm right here. You're going to rest in my power? Or are you going to try to do it in your strength? Are you battle ready tonight? One of the ways that we are is when we're resting in superpower status. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word.